And I'm Tom Baker here on Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, June the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. This is a call-in program. In fact, our numbers here in St. Louis, 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And the subject we're going to be talking about is writing history. Writing history. Yeah, I decided to talk about this in light of a pretty good article by a Valparaiso professor, Valparaiso, Indiana, in the Concordia Journal here at St. Louis, Missouri. He was making the point that he was studying history, and he was in one class where they were talking about the different kinds of way of dealing with history. You know, when you stop and think about it, let's say you see a car crash. There are about five different ways that you can write about that car crash. You can write about it from the point of view where you're standing and what you see. You can also write about it from the point of view of the two drivers. Perhaps there's something you saw or something you hear about that helps to understand why that accident occurred. So their history wouldn't just be a reporting of events, but actually some of the reasons behind it. And historians have a multitude of reasons by which they look at history. They can take a look at the psychology of the day. They can look at the society and the culture of the day. They can look at the circumstances of what's going on, say, in a country. All of these ways of writing history really are quite different. And the writer of this article struck a nerve with me when he asked the professor, how about the divine interest in history? And what he was saying is, when we write history, do we ever keep in mind how God is working in the world, what he is doing? And, of course, that particular historical teacher, who was not really in a religious school, said, oh, I guess that's another thing, but he kind of ignored it. The reason I'm talking about this today is, many of you know I have a store, Bargains New and Resale, over there on Woodson, 2126 Woodson, and I'm there normally on Saturday mornings. But I also publish books for people. And just last Saturday, a woman had walked in, and I mentioned the fact that, by the way, if you write anything, I publish. And she looked at me and said, you know, I've always wanted to write about my life. And after talking with her, I could see why. I said, are you going to call it fiction or nonfiction? She says, no, it's nonfiction. But, of course, it's not long before we get talking about religion, because they know I'm a pastor, and many of the books in the store are of a religious nature. And so we began to talk about how she would write about her life, speaking about God being involved. Now, you would think there's only one book in the world that looks at history from God's point of view, and that would be the Holy Bible. But it's kind of interesting that a lot of the Holy Bible seems to be written just from a historical point of view. Like, for example, it says that Nimrod was a hunter, probably the leader who attempted to build the Tower of Babel, but it just says he was a hunter. And there's a lot of historical facts. For example, the birth of Jesus is written in a historical way, that a virgin was met by an angel who told her she would conceive and bear the Messiah, and that's what happened. The thing you get in the Bible is a lot of times you get God's motivation for moving history along the way that he does. But sometimes it's just written as though God isn't involved. The verse I want to talk about is from Ruth. You know Ruth, she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi had two sons, but they both got married, they both died. One of the daughter-in-laws stayed in the country where they were living, Moab, but Ruth decided to go with Naomi back to Israel. Now, what I find interesting is how the writer to Ruth speaks about Naomi's concern over Ruth, but more importantly, how Ruth ended up in the field of Boaz. Let me read these verses. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, you see how that's written? It's as though, well, she was gleaning grain, and then it just so happened. It was kind of a coincidence. There is no such thing as a coincidence in history. Because God is not only almighty, he's not only everywhere, but he also holds the whole world in his hands. In other words, there is nothing that happens without God's permission. And a lot of times, things happen because he causes them. But sometimes he's not the cause, for example, of sin, but he still permits it. So when Herod went to kill the little children from Bethlehem, who were about the age of Jesus, God did permit that, but he didn't cause the murder of those children. That was Herod who had done that. So I find it interesting that as you go through the Bible, I always like saying that this is his story. Some people say history, but the whole Bible is all about Jesus. You see, if Boaz had not met Ruth, they had not got married, and then they did not have children, the line to Jesus would have been lost. So behind the scenes here, God is working mightily to make sure his promises come to fruition. It was just not because of happenstance that Ruth entered into the field belonging to Boaz. No, this was planned by God. He used Naomi to encourage her to go into the fields. And then, of course, God set everything up so that Boaz and Ruth finally got married. And the reason that's so very important, a lot of times you can tell the real meaning of a book of the Bible by either going to the first part or the last part. But here we go to the last part, where it talks about the father of Boaz was Salmon. Now, do you remember who his wife was? It was Rahab the prostitute from Jericho. Yes, a Gentile. So Salmon and Rahab, they had a child called Boaz. And then Boaz and Ruth had a child called Obed, who then had a child called Jesse, who was the father of King David. The book of Ruth is extremely important to show that the Bible is really his story. It's about history. Now, if you pick up any other history book, especially those written today, you will find that they're just a recording of events. Now, some historians want to look into the motivation behind the person who makes the events. But I'm hard-pressed to think of a historical book that also brings in God as part of the facts of history, as part of the events of history. This can happen if you write a personal diary. For example, as I look over my life, I think I told you once before, I had at one time started a book of coincidences. Each night I would think about what happened during the day, and put them down as coincidences, but in my mind, they were the way God was working out in my life. I finally had to give up. I got over 100 pages of them in about 5 months. Well, when you're looking for coincidences in your life, things that just so happen to happen, but are very beneficial to you, well, you'll find them all over the place. In fact, I had a course I called Eyes of Faith. And the point I was making is that when you look at reality through eyes of faith, boy, everything looks different. You see, there are many a times I think most people go through where they don't think they're going to get through the day. And here they're still living months and months later. Something worked out. Something happened. The congregation I shepherded for 28 years was not a wealthy congregation, and so people had a lot of problems with not having enough funds, sometimes not enough food, not enough shelter. And it was really quite interesting to see how much God had set up out there to help those people, whether we're talking about food stamps or various kinds of houses that were ready for those people, or all kinds of things, education that was available at hardly any cost. See, it's God who sets all these things up. And so I was encouraging the lady who was doing her diary to bring God into the picture of her history, of her personal history. Do you see areas, I asked her, where it appears that God was quite active, where you didn't think you had any hope or things were not going to work out, and lo and behold, something did happen that helped them to work out? See, that's the point that we're talking about with history, that you should not just write history as though they are a bunch of events, one after the other. But you should also see the hand of God operating in that history. Maybe you have an event that occurred in your life or some experience that you've had. If you want to talk to me about it, don't hesitate to do so by phoning in the St. Louis area 505-7850 or long distance anywhere in North America 1-800-730-2727. For example, in the news right now, there's a little girl, she's 10 years old, and she has a disease which means her lungs aren't working, and she's going to die soon. Now, the government has rules that to receive an adult lung, which she needs, you have to be 12 years old, and she's only 10 years old. And there's not that many children lungs that would be suitable for her. And so the government had, one of the heads of that particular group had decided that she would just have to die. Now, fortunately, a judge made a ruling that allowed her to get an adult lung. And just as I was getting ready to come to the studio today, they had on the news that a lung had been found, and within 3 hours she was going to have the surgery to replace her lungs. Now, I can't but see how that's not God's hand involved there. In fact, the news I was listening to said it's really a miracle of sorts. Because first of all, there's not that many lungs available, but that she would be at the top of the line because of her condition and receive one, you can just see the hand of God moving through that. And when you talk to the parents, they were praying a lot. Many people were praying for her. See, the history of her life, I do not think can be written without mentioning God. In my opinion, any history really needs to mention God. Now, you need to be a little careful, because it's only in the Bible where we know for sure the reasons God has done what he has done. Like, you can have a history story of, yep, I was in Egypt one day, and the Egyptian soldiers were chasing a group of people called the Nation of Israel, and they had them trapped and at the Red Sea. And to everybody's surprise, the Red Sea kind of opened up with walls of water on each side and dry land, and the Israelites were able to cross. Now, the Egyptians followed them, but when they were about halfway through or so, the waters came tumbling down on them and killed the whole Egyptian army. See, that's history. But we know from Scripture that there was a reason that God opened up the Red Sea. And that's because of a promise he had made to Abraham, that the people of Israel would inhabit the land of Canaan. And so he was restoring them back to their promised land. And in that return back to the promised land, there were obstacles. The first one was the Red Sea. God took care of that. Then there was a lack of water. God took care of that. Then there was a lack of bread, and God took care of that. Then there was a lack of meat, and God took care of that. Then there was lack of courage to go into the promised land when they reached it 2 years later, and God took care of that with 38 more years in the wilderness until he had for himself a group of people that really trusted him, and then he went into the promised land and destroyed Jericho. See, now that's history from a biblical understanding. What Eyes of Faith does is recognize God's hand in the events that take place in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you can recognize the reason that God does what he does. In that tornado that went through St. Charles 2 weekends ago, I just so happened to be in a restaurant, and the tornado was just about a half a mile away from us. And we just sat there eating. Nobody was warning us of anything, although you could see strong winds outside the window. But the next day, we heard that a particular block, the houses had almost all been devastated because of the tornado. And we knew that one of our members that we had had at St. James, that she and her husband and children were living on that block. So immediately I called her brother and asked him what had happened. And he informed me that, yes, the block really was damaged, but not her house. It was still standing and appeared to have no damage at all. Now, I can't but think that God was involved in that. You just can't talk about a tornado missing a house or a tornado hitting a house without understanding that God is involved. In fact, the house that was devastated and went all the way to the ground, nothing was left of it, the people just so happened to be out of town that day. There's God working again. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Pastor Baker. I can hopefully quickly share a coincidence that was very significant in my life. I've always loved St. Louis, never wanted to live anywhere else, but for a very good job opportunity, I uprooted the family and we moved to a city where we were not very happy. And it was going to be temporary, a year or two, and that stretched to 4 or 5. And then when I finally was able to get the transfer back to St. Louis, we couldn't sell our home. It was on the market forever. And I was an atheist at the time. And one day while I was in the car, I was converted. And I pulled in the driveway, in the door, and there was a realtor with a couple who purchased the home. We were able to move back to St. Louis. And we closed on our home in my hometown of St. Louis on my birthday. So I think somebody was working up above for me.
Those are eyes of faith. And you would not have recognized that had you remained an atheist, correct?
Oh, no. I would have just said, well, boy, it's a strange, random world.
Yes. Thank you very much for that call, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you for all you do. Sure.
God bless. Yes, and I think every one of us, if we would only think a little bit, maybe you ought to start a book on apparent coincidences, and you have to call them apparent, because there are no coincidences in God's world. In other words, there's nothing that is happening that is a surprise to God, because he either causes it or he also permits it. Nothing falls outside those two categories. But with eyes of faith, we can begin to see his hand everywhere. Romans 1 says everyone really believes in God, because you just can't look out into the universe and imagine that this came, say, from a Big Bang theory. I mean, that is so ridiculous. In their heart of hearts, they know somebody created this. But because of unbelief and because of our self-centeredness, we don't want to give any credit to anybody else except to me. I'm the one who is the individual who has done this thing. And therefore, it's really quite different to look at reality through eyes of faith. Most of history is written from a secular point of view because it's written on the basis of science, which simply means you can only talk about that which you can see and hear and feel and touch and taste. It's just the five senses. Anything outside of that is pure speculation. But that's not true for the Christian. How can I help you to understand that your life is being guided by God? Because as you are a Christian, you are his child, which means you have an abundance of promises connected to your life, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that, you know, those times of great temptation, he will provide a way of escape. So the Christian with eyes of faith, when that way of escape becomes obvious, we interpret it as God keeping his promise. When we baptize an infant, we interpret it as God keeping his promise, that we can be sure now that that infant has been taken from the realm of Satan and put into the realm of the holy kingdom of God, namely the holy Christian church. When we take the Lord's Supper, from a scientific point of view or a historical point of view, you would simply say, well, there were some people in the pew who went forward and they took some bread and they drank some wine, period. But no, from the historical point of view of God, we came forward and received the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And there was a purpose that God did that. And the purpose was so that we could have the assurance that our sins are forgiven and that we are children of the Most High. Because God, from the Bible, will never inhabit something that is not totally holy in his sight. And you are totally holy if you are a Christian from God's point of view. How so? Because every sin that you have committed, God took the punishment and placed it on his Son. And every good work that you're unable to do, God dresses you in what's referred to as the robe of righteousness. I don't know if you've ever thought about doing a diary, but if most diaries are just from a secular point of view, you know, I got up in the morning, I did this, I did that. It's kind of like a Twitter. I had this for supper, I had this for lunch. Imagine Twitters that started putting God into the conversation. Yesterday, I wasn't watching when I crossed the street, and a car stopped within 4 inches of me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me through that. I think, what do we ought to call that? Twitter religions or religious Twitter? I don't know what you would call it. But so often when you read on Twitter, you're not hearing anything that is anything but the bare facts. And if motivation is put in, a lot of times, because of our self-centeredness, we always look better than the situation really calls for. And that's why we so need the person and work of Jesus Christ, because we don't have to look better to God in order to be saved. It's Jesus who looks the best. And as you trust him for your salvation, God regards you as a sinless saint in his eyes. And you know, the only thing that really counts is how God regards you. So think about that as maybe a little exercise of faith in the next 24 hours. Be aware of what appear to be coincidences and recognize them as God's hand in your life. We may have another opportunity to talk about that, and we'll be excited to do so. But at this time, this is the end of our program for today. Tomorrow is Wes Reimnitz is going to be coming on board with us. You know, it's Father's Day this day, and Faith and Family has been talking all about that during this week. You do need to know that what we're looking forward to is the fact that God is in your life and he has provided you a father. We'll talk about what that means on tomorrow's broadcast. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.